It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We have been and we are studying the eighth dispensation, and that is the millennium. All these dispensations that we've been studying up to this point are found in the Word of God. That's the only way that this could be presented as dispensations, as what God would have us to say and read and study, and it is found in the Word of God, and that is the Bible. Once again, I consider the King James Bible the Word of God. We need to look no further for the Word of God because it's all there. Now, there's coming a time when, I've spoken of this before, when we are in the millennium, and that's the dispensation we're studying right now. But when we're in the millennium, we're not just going to be sitting around. We're going to still learn what God has for us. I made mention before that John the Apostle, in the book of John, he wrote that things that Christ did, there were so many of them, that nothing could contain all of the things that he did. There was no way to get it into the one book that we have. I mean, the world could not handle, could not hold or contain the things that Christ did while he was in this world. Now, that's the reason that you and I believe, will be studying more and more and more as we get into the millennium and we are with our Lord. Not only us, not only will we be studying, remember now, we've been changed, we have new bodies, we've been with Christ, we went to be with him in the rapture, and we've come back with him now in the millennium. We've come back with him in our new bodies, and we're going to continue to learn the things of God. And so will those people who are alive and are on the earth during the millennium. The Bible teaches us that people will still learn the things of God. We will be taught more and more and more about Jesus Christ. Now, we've been, of course, looking at the millennium, and Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Now, some people say, well, that couldn't be talking about the millennium. Well, let me say this, that is just the beginning. After the millennium, of course, we know that the white throne judgment takes place. The Bible says that everything is made new. And once again, we see the world changed just as it was during the flood. The flood changed the world. And God is going to change this world with fire. There'll be no more sin, no more evidence of sin, nothing around to remind people that there was sin. And of course, I don't believe we'll even realize about the sin at that point, because why should we? Everything has changed. All things have become new. But during that time, after the millennium, we see the continuation of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are studying the millennium, and that is the thousand-year reign of Christ. And we could ask a lot of questions about this, and let's look at a few of these. Why is the millennium? What's it for? Well, I believe that one of the reasons, and we can look on and on about several reasons, one reason is to fulfill Old Testament prophecies to Israel. I see, first of all, that it's to give Israel a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 37, we read of this, and we're not going to read all those verses right now, but notice what it says. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." This is God speaking to Israel. "And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." And verse 27 says, "And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." In other words, no question, Israel is changed. I mean, they're going to have a new heart. They're going to follow the Lord. They're going to do what the Lord wants done at that point. And it's also to put within Israel, as a nation, his spirit. God's Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit. Ezekiel 37 and verse 14 says, "And shall put my Spirit in you." This is the Lord. This is God speaking. Remember, Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 and verse 14 goes on to say that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, this was John speaking, just as we read of in Revelation, John the Apostle, who God allowed to pen down his words, not John's words, but what God wanted us to have. He also penned down the book of John. And we see there that John said, we beheld his glory. Jesus Christ was on this earth, and he says, we saw him. And if you keep reading and you've studied the Bible, you know they ate with him. The apostles ate with the Lord Jesus Christ. They traveled with him, and they recognized him as God. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Now, this is something that you and I need to understand as human beings, that just as the apostles and just as the disciples of the early church got saved, we got saved the same way. Nothing has changed. It's always through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through every dispensation. And there is no other way to go to heaven other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible goes on to say that the wages of sin is death. And it also says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the verse goes on to say, it says that the wages of sin is death, but it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So no one is ever saved in any time that man has lived on this earth. No one has ever been saved apart from believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible teaches us that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What did he believe God about? He believed there's one way to heaven, and that was to listen to God. You mean he knew about Jesus Christ? He knew that there was one who could save him. Even back in the Garden of Eden, God provided the coats of skins for Adam and Eve. The animals were slain. Blood was the blood had to be covered. It covered them. And this is one way that we know that Adam and Eve will be in heaven, is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a representation of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when God shed the blood of those innocent animals that he provided for Adam and Eve. Well, you know, I often think of, will Adam be hiding out in heaven so that people won't go after him for sin? I think that we need to be thanking Adam. You say, well, what do you mean we need to thank Adam? He's the one that got us in this trouble that we're in. Bible says, for as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's Adam's fault. Well, think of this. Had Adam not accepted those coats and skins that God had provided there in the Garden of Eden, none of us could be saved. But Adam received what God gave him, and that was the coats of skin, the shed blood of those animals. This is a representation of the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and dying for everybody in this world. That is those people who will trust him as Lord and Savior. They're the ones who get saved. So when we get to heaven, I don't believe Adam's going to be hiding out. We're going to look for Adam, but it's not going to be to blame him. But I would suggest that when we get there, we thank him for doing as God wanted him to do, and that was to get saved. Adam was a saved man before he left this world, and he's in heaven now with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way Abraham went to heaven, is by trusting the Lord. Ezekiel 37 and verse 14 tells us that that the millennium will be to put within Israel as a nation his Spirit. It says there in Ezekiel 37 and verse 14, "And shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." You can also look in Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, the first or the second part of that verse, Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. But understand that Israel has not, they have never occupied all of the land that was promised to them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They've never received all of that land, but they will during the millennium. All of the land that God promised through the unconditional covenant that he made with Abraham about the land and all the other blessings that he promised, that will come to pass in the millennium. Isaiah 32 and verse 15 says, "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest." Isaiah 44 and verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offering." Well, this is something that is going to take place. Israel is going to be blessed. They're going to have a new heart, and they're going to have the Spirit. They're going to have the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, and you know something else. Today, we have the Spirit, those of us who are saved. The Bible teaches us that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So when you get saved, you have the Spirit of God because you're His. He's bought you with a price, and that is with His blood. Well, another reason, something else we look to the millennium about is what takes place there and why is the millennium. It's also to prove that Israel, an unfaithful wife, is restored to her husband. Well, look in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 7. And once again, I encourage you to have your Bible ready each time that we gather together to study the Word of God. Have the King James Bible as we go through it. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And Revelation 19, verse 7 goes on to say, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him." Now, when you look at verse 6, it says, "the Lord God." That is to give honor to him. That is the him there in verse 7. And it goes on to say, "for the marriage of the Lamb." This is not the marriage of the Lord God, verse 6. And it says, "the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his," that's verse 6, "Lord God, his wife hath made herself ready." Now, many people get confused here, but the Word of God is there for us, and the Word of God unfolds to us and lets us see biblical truths, and this truth is coming out now. And if you will look at those verses, you'll see the word "and." And the core meaning of "and," this is a conjunction used to indicate an additional thing, a situation or a fact. If the marriage of the Lamb is about to happen in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, then the wife spoken of in verse 7 could not be speaking of the church. The church was not yet married to Christ. The marriage of the Lamb is spoken of in the second part of that verse, in verse 7. It says that it is about to take place. If the church is not yet married to Christ in verse 7, then the wife spoken of in verse 7 could not be the church. Well, listen next time as we look further into this. This is interesting, and this is really good to understand the differences between wives. And to see who this wife is, who is the husband concerned here in these verses. Revelation chapter 19, verses 9 and 6.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.